Blog Talk Radio.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here on this auspicious occasion to join together your two ears and some really cool old-time radio. I'm Father Dale Kay from Spook Show here along with...
Ain't Getting Married Again, Dave Binkley from Weirdness, Really Bad Movie, and Spaceship One. That's right. I've been through this thing twice, and I've always said if something ever happened to this, I never make the same mistake three times. I try not to.
As I have expressed to Miss Denise, you are the last wife. No matter what happens, you are the last wife for me.
That's right. Yep, I can understand that.
Unless the Yeehaw girls, well, there's that. But otherwise, Yeehaw girls notwithstanding.
Yeehaw.
Yep. Yeah, and I know they're old, but look at me. Am I young? What am I going to get nowadays? The Yeehaw girls, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a great radio tonight, of course. Fitting right into our Saturday schedule, CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah, and this is one of the early ones, Dale. This is in the first show number 40, I believe. So it's very early in the run of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater. So that will be fun. Hey, and you know what I have scheduled coming up soon? I know we'll be getting to that later, but I do finally found a way to schedule in one of the General Mills Adventure Theaters that Hyman Brown was producing at the same time he produced it for one season. And the host was Tom Bosley. And we have a show in there. Which is
all right.
It'll be interesting to see because it is one of the favorite stories is Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. So
yep.
We'll see how they adapt it when we get to that. So.
Oh, and we'll take a look ahead at because they went schedule crazy. Keep in mind, not everything's going to be written in stone because we always try to make room for guests, and we do have some good ones coming your way in the coming months, to our knowledge.
Yes, to our knowledge, yes. Of course, our knowledge is limited, so we'll have to.
Yeah. But this is good. I mean, if this is early in the run, I'm going to guess this is late 70s that we're going to hear tonight. Mid-70s?
I think it's... let me get back over here. Mid-70s. 1974, this one would come from.
Hey, and, long-time listener. Gar the Ghoul joined the conversation.
Long-time listener. Yes, he did.
Long-time listener. Listener, hell. He's part of the family. He's part of the team. And he's getting
ready to
do Horrible Horrors tonight, right after this fine production.
Or after the show, too, whichever way you look at it. We have an interesting guest on this particular episode here, Dale, tonight. Ruby Dee makes an appearance acting in this episode as well. And she's not even the main character, I don't believe. So it should be a fun story and an early story for the Mystery Theater. And let me tell you what, some of the early ones, although they were kind of still finding their roots a little bit, it seems to me they're better than what happened towards the end of the run. And I just think they ran out of writers. I mean, let's face it, when you're getting stories, you're getting seven stories a week sometimes. It's kind of easy, I think, to run out of writers and with good ideas and different ideas. And that way... I think from what I've been listening to towards the end of the run, yeah, having a male host may have helped. This is nothing against Tammy Grimes. She's a wonderful actress, and she even did some comedy a little bit. But to have a male voice do this, I think really would have possibly helped it a little. But the stories themselves, they were – I think they were just running out of stories and writers.
Yeah. And no shame in that. I mean, look at what a run they had and how many shows CBS Radio Mystery Theater put out, all told.
Yes. I mean, a total of, just under 1,400, 1,399. You think that CBS would let them go one more show?
Yeah, one more show. Come on.
One more show. You know, let's start out with a bang with number 1,400. And you know what? Their last show wasn't anything super spectacular. And Hyman Brown came out at the end and said, look, we're not done yet. I've already got some other projects I'm working on. And he did. He went on and did a series of radio shows for The Voice of America. Only ever got played on a with the deal he had, he was able, because, again, he was a New Yorker. He went on the New York public radio station, which he got that. But that was the only, the rest of it was specifically made for Voice of America. It's never been heard or repeated anywhere. Someday I hope to find some of those somewhere.
It would be nice if those turned up. Boy, that would be great. 1,000,000, 5,000,000, 28 episodes. Just amazing. Thank you, Gary.
Which is also confusing because since Voice of America is funded by We the People, there's so many things, including their news, their hourly news, that we can all use. But they've never released those for general consumption. And as far as I know, they've never really dug them back out to share again.
Hmm.
What a sad thing.
Yes. But we're sharing with you.
What's not sad is we have these great mystery theaters to share with you right now.
Indeed we do. And let's start off with this one. It's a true gem. Here Goes the Bride. And
yep.
We have an original broadcast date, I would warrant.
Of April 14th, 1974.
Ooh. Radio is back. And KRLD's got it. Tuesday through Friday evenings at 6:30 and again at 11:30, return to those exciting early days of radio. Tuesday night, Lamont Cranston is The Shadow. Wednesday night, Gangbusters. Thursday night, the timeless and thrilling escapades of the Green Hornet. And Friday night, the Lone Ranger rides again. Yes, radio is back, and KRLD's got it.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. Welcome to the sound of suspense, to the fear you can hear. This time around, we're involved in the supernatural. Any dictionary will give you several definitions. Supernatural, above and beyond the natural order of events, of or related to ghosts. Behavior caused by the intervention or by the action of a god on earthly affairs. Choose your own definition for this tale we are about to relate.
No. They don't want me here. Something doesn't want me here. Richard. Not Richard. April is still in his mind. April. No. I don't believe in ghosts. I won't. No. Who's there? Who's there?
I.
Thank you.
mystery drama, Here Goes the Bride, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Ruby Dee and Michael Wager. It is sponsored in part by the Kellogg Company, makers of Kellogg's Special K cereal. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
And now another tale of the ball and chain. At Kellogg's Special K
presents The Good, the Bad, and the Heavy.
Why is that cowboy wearing a ball and chain?
Because carrying around extra pounds can be just like carrying around a ball and chain.
How symbolic.
Well, it is, senor.
Give me the Special K breakfast.
Here you go. For a Special K, it's cream, milk, orange juice, and coffee.
Ah.
Say, don't I know you from someplace?
You probably don't recognize me with my ball and chain. I used to be 10 pounds lighter, but I'm getting back that way by exercising and eating smart at every meal, starting with this here Special K breakfast.
What's so special?
It's less than 240 calories, 99% fat-free, and delicious. It's going to help me get rid of this here ball and chain.
I bet your horse will be glad to hear that.
Another ball and chain, fight the gust.
Your happy ending could begin with the Kellogg Special K breakfast.
That's Kellogg's Special K.
That's right.
Good night.
The supernatural doesn't always have to presuppose something totally beyond this earth. There are those among us who hover somewhere between earth and sky. The stars who light up our theater marquees or movie screens. All the human beings who have become, by extension, a little larger than life. This is the shocking tale about two of those.
Richard.
Yes, Jenny.
It's such a lovely day. Can't we put the top down?
Well, I don't want to take a chance on being recognized.
Nobody will recognize me.
Just do as I say, please. Oh, sorry to make you do the driving, darling, but that's why I had Juan leave my sister Lisa's car in Monterey. The damn snoop should know by now not to pay any attention to it.
Does your sister look like me, Richard?
Enough from a distance. Same colored hair. But not really. He's attractive enough, I suppose. No, actually, she is very plain, and you...
Yes.
You're the most beautiful woman I've ever known.
And I thought you only married me for my money.
Look, don't say that.
But, darling, I was only joking. Did you really mean what you said about me?
Every word.
But she was so beautiful. How could you...
April was April. She isn't in my world or anyone else's anymore. She's dead.
I'm sorry, darling. I shouldn't have brought her up. Oh, we're here already. So, I'm about to see Richard Morgan's Folly at last.
Don't let the wall spoil it for you.
Ooh, it's like a fortress, Bob. Wire, broken glass. And the gate looks as though you borrowed it from the Bastille. Does it all have to be so high?
The price of privacy. What little we could ever get. The fans considered April and myself public property. But we could forget that once we're inside. From there, looking out, you can't even see the walls. Open the gate.
I don't think I could even budge it if I knew how.
Not manually. You see the little box on the visor? It's an electric gizmo. Just press the button on it.
It's a magic castle.
Enter, Your Majesty, and long live the Queen. Gatehouse. Stop a minute.
Well, what are those, the hounds of the Baskervilles?
They are our guardian angels. They patrol the grounds at night. Juan, amigo, ¿qué pasa con los perros?
They know you are back in casa, mi patrón. They will not be tranquil till they see you for themselves. Bienvenida en casa, señor Morgan.
Muchas gracias, viejo amigo. Darling, this is Juan, el señor Aguilar. Juan, permíteme presentarte con nueva señora, mi esposa.
Señora Morgan.
Juan, put the top down for the señora. I'll get the dogs quiet.
Oh, it's good to get some fresh air. Well, my husband didn't have any trouble quieting down the dogs. They're not really as savage as they sound. Are they one?
They are trained to kill, Senora. Anyone who does not belong here.
Oh, goodness. I hope they get to know me soon, then.
If they learn to know you belong, you have nothing to fear.
You've been here a long time?
Since the house was first built.
Then you were here from the beginning with Richard's... with Richard's first wife, April.
See?
A terrible tragedy for all of you. You must have loved her.
She was the Senora de la Casa.
I hope you won't blame me for trying to take her place.
There is no one to take her place.
Conchita. Si, senorita. Here in the hall. Yes, senorita Morgan. You didn't take her portrait down.
La senora?
April? That is her place.
I don't think my brother is going to agree with you. He is bringing home a new bride, you know.
I know.
Didn't he suggest it might be a sensible idea to clear away all the portraits and memories of April from around the house?
The portrait here in the hall is painted on plaster. It cannot be removed any more than her memory can be removed. So it stays. This is her place. No one can take it.
A fresco. Funny, I never realized that. Because it's framed, I suppose.
It was El Patron's idea for the wedding present. His way of saying, here is my love, which will never die, as it will never die for any of us.
Except for my brother Richard.
Maybe he thinks so, maybe not. But once he returns again, I think he will know there is only one, La Señora.
You're really going to see what bon repos is all about. I'm going to drive slow so you can drink it in. Look.
Oh, it's breathtaking.
That's bon repos.
Not only the house, but the cliffs. And that wild leap off into the Pacific and all the way to the horizon. Oh, I love it.
I hope you'll be able to.
But I do already. Except
what?
The rest of it is all so vast that suddenly the house seems small. Now, the closer we get, I realize how huge it is.
Well, it's rambling. Started from small beginnings and then just kept on growing.
Looking at that main house, it wasn't all that small.
Well, for its day, it was. Big families then. All that's left of mine, I see clustered on the porch, my sister.
And the lady with her?
That's our housekeeper, Conchita Aguilar. She's Juan's wife.
I have no one, but at least you have a sister. It makes me feel a lot less like an orphan. And the house is so lovely. I hope I've come home.
I told you when we came back to America that would be your decision. Jenny, for many reasons, it's not going to be an easy one. But just give it a chance.
I welcome it, Richard. If only it will welcome me.
We flew straight from Japan to San Francisco, then drove down to Monterey to pick up the car.
Well, it's so good to see you. Your bride is lovely. But you could have let us know about the wedding.
Lisa, I wanted to keep it private, so we just sneaked off.
More coffee, Jenny? Richard?
No, I think I'll have some brandy. How about you girls?
Not for me.
I pass.
Oh, it's a magnificent night. There's going to be a full moon. Damn, dogs are all stirred up again. Jenny?
Yes, Richard?
Want to walk down with me and start making friends with them?
Well, I'm a little tired tonight. I bet I'd make a better dog pal by daylight. Well, why don't you go ahead while I go up and get ready for bed? Well, you're the one they're calling for anyway.
I've missed them. And it's nice to have been missed. Would you mind? I won't be over a half hour.
I'll be waiting for you when you get back.
I'll close the French windows. Don't forget to lock them, Lisa.
No, leave them open. The breeze is wonderful.
I'll see they get closed, Richie. I've been taking care of that for the last year.
Take care of my bride, too, Lisa. Good night to you, Lisa. I'll see you later, Jenny.
Well, a very sexy goodbye.
Your brother is a very sexy man. Well, hadn't you noticed?
Well, why should I be the only woman in the Northern Hemisphere to have it escape me?
Oh, Lisa, it's what makes my blood run cold sometimes. That and April.
She can scarcely run you much competition anymore.
Because she's dead.
She is?
Well, not really. In so many ways, I'm terribly naive growing up in Japan, knowing so little of my native country. I was always aware that Richard Morgan was a star. After all, he was in Japan to make a movie. And I knew he'd been married for many years to April Sanders. It was only after I'd married Richard and come back to America that I began to realize I'd married into royalty. Not only that, but I'd rushed blindly into marrying the king without seeing that the queen is not dead.
Oh, Jenny, don't be silly. The queen is very dead.
Not in most people's memories. How did it happen, Lisa? How could that vibrant, overwhelmingly wonderful woman have met her death?
Want to take a little walk, Jenny?
I could use some air. Which way do we go?
Oh, towards the sea. There's enough moonlight to light the way. Are you cold?
Lord, no. I welcome the breeze. Well, where are you taking me?
To the end of the world.
What?
Well, where April ended hers. You wanted to know how it happened, didn't you?
I think I've gone far enough, Lisa.
Only a few steps.
What is this path? I mean, somebody cut it out of solid rock.
It's called the Seven Steps to Heaven. More like 70. Richard had them cut for April on their 7th anniversary. You'll see why now as we come out on the ledge. It's windier tonight than I thought. Most days it's calm up here. The sun pours down. You can lie out here on the ledge with the sea 400 feet below and drench in the sun as though you were the only person in the world. April treated this as a shrine. She was an inveterate sun worshiper.
But it's sheer heaven, bathed in moonlight.
If you look up.
Well, I can't see too much of the shadows looking down.
The rocks are as jagged as teeth. 400 feet straight down. This is right where she fell. Spread-eagled on the rocks, broken and mangled, but speared by the sharp edges so even the restless sea couldn't wash her away.
Oh, my God, Lisa. How could she have gone close enough to fall?
She didn't fall.
But the papers
that
she...
That's the story that was given out. Conchita believes it. Richie claims he does. Others are not so sure. Come on, this place gives me the heebie-jeebies. Let's get back to the house before Richie sets those damn dogs loose.
Oh, excuse me, I was just turning down the bed.
Which I'm sure you're quite ready to roll into, Jenny. Good night, dear. Welcome home, such as it is.
Good night, Lisa.
See you whenever. Don't feel there's anything to get up for.
Will there be anything else, madame?
No, thanks, Conchita.
Then I will say buenas noches, madame.
Wait a minute.
Si, madame?
Madame is not a Spanish word. Why do you call me that?
What would you have me call you?
Well, since I am Richard's wife, shouldn't it be señora?
In this house, there was only one señora.
But she's dead.
Jamás en el corazón. Never in the heart, for anyone who knew her. Buenas noches, madame.
Richard, are you awake?
Huh?
It's her. It's April. Oh, my God. Stay away. Stay away. Richard, wake up.
What?
Help me.
What's happened?
Help.
Jenny, what is it?
Listen, don't you hear?
Hear what? There's nothing.
But there was...
What is it, darling?
You look as though you'd seen a ghost.
Not seen. I heard. It was her. April, your wife.
Be quiet.
You're my wife. April is dead.
But she still doesn't want me here. Nobody does.
Not a very auspicious housewarming for poor Jenny at Bon Repos. Bon Repos. A reasonable translation of the French is sweet dreams. But there will be few sweet dreams for Jenny, at least this night. As for others, we'll find out when we return shortly with Act Two.
And they will return shortly with Act Two. But not until we've had a little chat.
Yeah, the commercial's coming up too, so fun. I kind of cut it at that point because I think this first segment was like 18 minutes long, so it's you never know. But we're gonna have some fun with some of the commercials of 1974 as well. And I found this interesting tidbit, Dale, of
yes.
Why a marriage ceremony is typically ends with a kiss. Well, it's because in ancient Rome, a kiss was a legal bond that sealed contracts, and marriage was seen as a contract. Okay, you know, when the guy came, he's coming over to...
We should have read the fine print.
The guy's coming over to put the fence in. I'm not kissing him. Sorry.
Yeah,
not doing
there you
it.
Go. No, yeah. I mean, I like the guy, but yeah, don't want to get too friendly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. You might expect more. You know, you don't
never never mix pleasure in business. That's for sure.
Anyway, a lot going on in a quick return to the guy's house. All kinds of things going on, and most of it doesn't include seemingly wanting her to be around very much.
No, there's either persons or perhaps a spirit that does not want her to be in that house, nor be the new bride.
Yep. They're not really accepting her as it were to say.
She should have brought cookies and ice cream.
Ice cream, absolutely. That might have made a difference right there.
That always does. It always does.
Ice cream, good.
Ice cream, good. People bad. Ice cream good.
That's what the monster always thought.
He didn't like fire. Fire bad. Fire bad. Yes.
Yeah. Food good.
Too good sometimes, let me tell you.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not. But an interesting tale. We've got this young lady kind of feeling like she's really on her own. I mean, I don't see her husband being all that helpful here.
No, he doesn't seem to be. He does not. So, What are you gonna do? You know.
I don't know. Uh-oh, Fogsbane, the ice cream man, drove by about an hour ago. And must have got him. Score! Score! Did you get a bomb pop, or did you get a Eskimo pie, or I wonder what he got? I don't know. I had an ice cream today too.
I had one today. I wore half of it, but it was kind of melted by the time I got to it. So when I was trying to grab something else, it poured all over my pants.
That's when you eat it with a straw, baby.
Well, I started digging out the loose stuff first, then I went for the stuff that was still good.
There you go.
There you go. You got the bomb pop. There you go.
This is a lot of fun. I am so glad, Dave, that you leave these commercials in, because just like the original shows from the 30s, 40s, and 50s were a time machine for maybe our parents.
Right.
Or even half a generation behind us. This is a time capsule for us folks.
And some of you that are
our age know exactly what I mean, because these are the commercials that we're playing in our youth.
In our youth, yeah, when we were teens.
The youth.
Our youth.
He got the bump up. Fugs Bean got the bump up. I can't believe how long those have been around, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, people keep buying
them. Who
was
your ice cream man as a kid?
We had,
do you remember
we had
a company name or anything like that?
We had Mr. Frosty in Buffalo. Mr. Frosty was our neighborhood truck driver.
In Deadford Heights, we had Uncle Marty. These little...
Uncle?
It was like really like a pickup with a camper up on the back, and the ice cream was kept in a freezer back there.
Yeah, you got to be careful of those uncles, though. There's always a creepy uncle out there.
Oh, this guy was not creepy. He brought ice cream and did not expect other things other than the cost of the cone.
Right, right, the money, yep.
He was a good guy. Fogs Bean, it's hot here in Ohio, too, with no relief in sight for the next few days. And we got some red-hot radio for you as well.
Whoa, King of the Segways shows up again. Slam, dunk.
Just hey, you know, you got to keep on. That's one thing. Two reasons we love working with Gar. Number one, he's funny as hell.
Number two, we don't have to work as hard when he's here. Yeah,
there really doesn't need to be a number two or three after that. But there is. He keeps us on our toes. He keeps us sharp.
He does. Yes, he does. Yeah, I was hoping CW would show up tonight. I want to thank her for that link. I've been watching that Meeting of the Minds link that she sent me. Absolutely, absolutely a fabulous. Steve Allen, we were talking a bit about Steve Allen last night in Meeting of the Minds. At least the very first episode is on YouTube, on the YouTubes, as they say sometimes. And I just want to tell you how much I am enjoying that. Some of the great, and this one here, they've got Teddy Roosevelt and Cleopatra and Thomas Paine and I forget one of the great religious leaders of the church. And so it's really quite fascinating hearing these people just have conversations and talk about their different times and how they interpreted those different times and the other people straightening them out, you know.
Yeah. So. I'm reminded of Bill and Ted going through time and meeting famous figures and their interpretation of on, dudes. I just never thought I would hear Abe Lincoln say, "Party on, dudes." Hey, who snuck in here to the Erie house?
Greetings. CW here. How goes it?
Hey, welcome.
Thank you so much for that link to Meeting of the Minds. I was just talking about that, and I am enjoying that show immensely. I'm about halfway through it right now, and absolutely a joy. I'm so glad Steve Allen did that, and that at least one episode, there may be more up there, but just what a tremendous show that was.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I think there's at least one other episode, season one, episode one, but I think there was another Steve Allen aficionado. I personally have been trying to find his clip of when he did a parody of Julia Child. He called it Julia Wild. And the only one I can ever find is, I can only find Dan Aykroyd when he was on Saturday Night Live when he was doing Julia Wild parody. But I know Steve Allen did one. I saw it once before, but it's buried somewhere in the internet, and I'm still trying to scope it out. But I'm glad you enjoyed that Meeting of the Minds thing. It looked very good.
Very much so. Thank you so much.
I'm going to have to check that out, too. Now you guys got me. Now you got me, guys. You two have me burning to check it out, and I will.
I'll send you the link, buddy. I'll send you the
Please
link.
Please do. Please do. And thank you again. I know Dave already did, but thanks from me, too, as well. We love sharing information, too, and I'm glad the bug caught you as well.
Absolutely.
So.
Yep. One of the songs that he wrote, and you're quite right, the man wrote tons of stuff. This can be the start of something big.
Oh, I didn't realize he wrote that one. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was Steve Allen.
Yeah, I was watching him on some show, maybe Merv Griffin, and he said, you know, I've heard that you could write a song. And Steve was sitting at the piano at the drop of a hat. And he went on to the chorus of that, at the drop of a hat, I'll write a song. You know, it was just absolutely so quick and spontaneous that it was fun, you know. I've only seen that one other time. Elton John was on one of those English programs, and a guy wrote down, he said, I heard that you could write a song about anything. And so I wrote down these lyrics, and he read them out loud. Everybody laughed. Then he put him in front of Elton John, and he played some sort of tune, and Elton John sang that, and it sounded like a serious song. I mean, it's the only two times I've ever experienced that in my life, to see somebody that quick do that, in the sense of the drop of a hat, you know.
That is a rare breed of musician and songwriter. I don't know,
yes.
Maybe Lennon and McCartney could do something like that. They could bouncing ideas off of each other.
Yes.
Hello?
Absolutely.
Have I lost you? Okay. Okay.
No, you're right. I think you're right. That would be, and there probably are others that could do that, but they didn't do that, you know. They just didn't necessarily, they were not put in that spot, that situation to do something like that.
To, what is it, scat music? Scatman Carruthers, there was an interview with him, and there's a lot of theories about where scatting came from. The person singing forgot the lyrics, so they were just sort of harmonizing, or scatting was just doing it something off the cuff, that sort of thing. But it's akin to, I think, kind of scatting, just making it up as you go along.
Yep.
That's why I was funny when I recently was watching some things. So I watched some listening and watching on Louis Prima lately. And, of course, he was King Louis on The Jungle Book. And
yes.
There was somebody who was saying how, you know, he just really bought into that. You know, he goes, I guess Disney personally went to him and said, this is what we want to do, this. What are you trying to do, turn me into some kind of monkey or something? And he said, that's exactly. He says, I'm in. And what's funny is, of course, he had that big number against Phil Harris. Now, Phil Harris needed the words written out. Louis Prima didn't. He just made it up as he went along, where Phil Harris needed words written down to fit into that song. You could never tell the difference, but that is, you know, one of the things that happened from that. Because basically they were both scatting at that point.
Yes, Gar, in the chat wanted to know who's with us. Yes, it is the mighty and powerful CW who joins us here live on Doritos. Yep. And just in time for part two. We gotta move along and get to part two. I don't know how much you've heard of part one, CW, but this is Here Goes the Bride from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. We'll be back shortly.
I don't know, but it's always something, isn't it? You just about get over paying for the holidays, and April 15th is staring you in the face again. Well, Dom was griping about doing our taxes. What else is new? And I remembered hearing that CIT has an income tax service. So I said, look, honey, unless you enjoy torturing yourself, why don't you let CIT do our taxes? Well, I guess I caught him at a weak moment, because that's just what he did. You know, he came home all smiles, said they were fast, computerized, had a $5 minimum charge, and saved him a lot of time and aggravation. And if he needed extra cash, he could have applied for a uni loan right there at CIT. Don said the CIT man was so nice, it was almost a pleasure doing the taxes. Almost.
CIT makes money happen. We really do.
And they make doing taxes almost a pleasure.
By the fresh light of a clear morning, with the wind stilled and the sunlight flooding all the dark corners, Bonrepos is a little more worthy of its name. But Richard Morgan is having a difficult time selling that to his still shaken bride.
Let a little light in. You'll feel better, Jenny.
No, Richard. I'm still not over last night. Who was it?
Darling, it wasn't anybody.
You still say you didn't hear it, that awful sobbing.
It was nothing but the wind. Sometimes it sighs and moans all around the house, and you'd swear it was a human voice. But look. Not a whisper this morning. Even the ocean's like glass. Today you'll understand why I love this house so much.
Richard, come here. Beside me on the bed.
All right, darling.
I know you love Bon Repos, but...
But what?
Richard, please, I don't want to live here.
Why not?
Darling, try to understand. I don't feel I belong here. I know Juan and Conchita seem to resent me.
Have they said anything?
No, not in so many words. It's just a feeling I get. I'm not wanted.
That isn't true.
Richard, don't you see? It's her house. It was her family's house to begin with. She's here still. She'll never leave it. She'll haunt me every minute I'm in it. Please, take me away from here.
All right. If that's what you want, I'll sell the damn place, tear it apart stone by stone.
Richard!
Oh, Jenny, my darling. Look, it's just the time lag, the long flight from Japan, days and nights turned upside down. I'm going to have Conchita bring us a breakfast up to the room. We'll have it out on the veranda. Give you a chance to get a good look at Juan's landscaping, all that riot of color, bougainvillea, poinsettia, camellia against the green. Maybe that'll change your mind about poor old Bon Repos.
Darling, I know how much you love it, but...
Oh, come on, Jenny. Give it a chance. A few more days, a week. Give it a chance to cast its own peculiar spell.
All right, darling. Go get us some breakfast. I'll wash up and brush my teeth and get rid of some cobwebs while you're gone.
Jenny.
Yes?
I love you, Mrs. Morgan.
That's who I am. I love you, my husband.
Conchita.
Si, patron.
Come over here in the alcove. What the hell happened last night?
I couldn't help it. She woke up, started to scream, and then to sob. You heard?
The whole house must have heard. Why didn't you stop her?
I did as soon as I could.
You know I don't want my wife to know about her being here.
I know.
Then keep her quiet. Got sedatives. That's your job. And I want my new wife made welcome.
That is not my job.
Then I'll find someone else for it.
You would drive Juan and me from this house?
We'll talk about this later. For now, bring breakfast to the veranda for the senor and me.
Si, senor.
Where's my sister?
In her room, I think.
Muy bien.
Come in. It's open. Richard, I didn't expect to see you this morning.
Why not?
Well, after all, brother mine, a new bridegroom.
I'm an old bridegroom by now.
Yes, maybe she is a touch young for you.
Damn you, I didn't mean that.
I didn't mean what I said either. I was only teasing you. She's a lovely girl. She's sunny and free and unspoiled.
I want to keep her that way. What the devil am I going to do about her? Upstairs there, you heard her last night.
Well, you know my feelings on the subject. Get rid of her. For good.
I can't. After all, it's partly her house. God, why won't she die?
It would be a neat solution to it all, wouldn't it? But it seems she just won't. I'm afraid you're stuck with her as long as your conscience holds you back.
Please, for God's sake, don't tell Jenny about her.
Just how long do you think you can keep her secret?
Oh, I don't know. All I need is a few days, a week. By then, one way or another, it won't matter.
Are you going to start country hopping again, or are you going to stay home and make some nice, solid American movies?
Well, that depends on my negotiations in the next week or 10 days.
Jenny, you're not eating your steak. Want it on the fire a little more?
No, thanks. I really ate too much of that wonderful salad. I don't think I could eat another thing.
Conchita?
Si, senor.
I think you can clear the table.
You want dessert, dear?
I don't think so. Lisa, please forgive me, but I'm so full of sand, sea, air, and scouting the property that I'm really bushed. Would you excuse me?
Of course, Jenny. Get a good sleep.
I'll see you upstairs, darling. Shall I have Conchita bring us some coffee?
Oh, no, no. I just want to sleep and sleep and make up for the last few days. You don't have to come up.
Try and keep me away. Night, Lisa.
Night. See you tomorrow. I feel like such a party pooper.
Lisa, forgive us. I'm bushed myself. Darling, you're positively weaving.
Well, I feel a little high or low or something.
Here, how about my arm for support?
I'd love it.
No good?
No, fine. I was just... She was so lovely, Richard.
Huh? Oh. April, the fresco. That damn thing, I wish I'd never dreamed it up. I promise you it'll be removed or covered or something.
Oh, no, darling, it's too lovely to destroy. Besides, no matter what you do or anyone tries to do, the memory of April Sanders in our time can never be wiped out or erased. It's something we both have to live with.
Well, she was like Jean Harlow, Marilyn Monroe, Elizabeth Taylor. She belonged to the public.
But you had her painted to endure forever.
But are you sure the dog was poisoned?
That's enough, you two. Silencio!
What was all that arguing about?
Nothing. Trouble with one of the dogs. Come on, Jenny. Let's have some morning coffee and juice and get back to normal.
Well, what's the matter with the dog?
Here's your juice. Oh, it's what I've been trying to steel myself to weed out. He's a maverick, or was.
What do you mean?
Well, some dogs take to training, some don't. This one, well, just never did. He's unpredictable and a natural-born scavenger. He picked up something from the garbage with a botulism, I guess. Anyway, he died this morning.
But what could a dog...
Now, look, don't take on about it. I'm going down to bring up some eggs and bacon. Why don't you set the table for us on the veranda?
Of course, darling. The steak. I didn't eat... Is that what poisoned him? Oh, God, help me to know what to do. I love my husband, but every instinct in me tells me to run. Run for my life.
Yeah. Yep, sure, J.B. No, I don't like it, but if it's the only way, I'll be there. Yes, right away. No, I'll drive down. It's almost dark already, so I'm not taking much of a chance. What? Well, yes, thanks, yes. I'll stay with you overnight and come right back.
You're going to Los Angeles?
Just overnight, darling.
Well, take me with you.
Oh, Jenny, I can't. This is all strictly business.
And I stay here alone?
Oh, not alone. Lisa's with you. Oh,
thank God for that.
You have nothing to worry about.
Of course I haven't. Go, do what you have to do and come back to me safe.
And you stay safe for me to come back to.
Wouldn't you know, the moment my brother cuts out, the local electricity has to fail. Here's your candle, Jenny. Want me to come in with you?
No, I'm fine.
Oh, there are plenty of others in the candelabra. They can burn all night.
I won't need them. That good night drink we had has curdled my brain.
No, me too. No about you, but I'm sailing. Maybe there was something in Conchita's Aura's Compolia, but I'm positively lightheaded.
Well, whatever it was, thank God for small favors. I'll sleep sound tonight. If I can just find the bed. Ooh, I'm really high as a kite. And no reason for it. Whatever it is, don't let Conchita see me like this. See me to bed, Lisa. No. They don't want me here. Someone, something. But who... Conchita, Juan, Richard. No, please, please, not Richard. But April is still in his mind.
April. No, no. I don't believe. Ghosts. I won't. No. Who's there? Who's there?
Why don't you go away?
Moving towards the bed was the dead woman, April Morgan. But what a travesty of that beautiful woman. A face gaunt and haggard. The eyes staring blankly from the desiccated skin. A hellish ghoul raised from the year-old grave. No wonder Jenny mercifully passed out. We'll return shortly with Act 3.
When you feel like having a cold Budweiser, do you automatically reach for a glass?
Yep.
Well, sure, Bud's a great beer any way you drink it. But without a glass, you're really missing something. Now take that wonderful Budweiser head of foam, for instance. Those bubbles, tiny though they are, still amount to something pretty special at the top of your glass. Taste appeal and eye appeal. Two results of exclusive Beechwood aging and natural carbonation. It takes a lot longer to brew Budweiser that way. But brewing beer right does make a difference that you can taste. That's why. When you say Budweiser, you've really said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young.
Now more than ever, that's good advice. Maybe you're holding on to an older car because you like the gas mileage. Then you want to make sure its hard-working engine is getting quality protection. Quaker State protection. Quaker State is refined from the world's choicest crude oil. And now that people need it more than ever, it's available more places than ever.
Quaker State, your car, to keep it running young.
Hey, CW, are you with us still?
I'm here.
Awesome. Hey, this commercial brought something to mind. I'm curious if out by your way, do they have Quaker Steak franchise restaurants?
As a matter of fact, I did. I almost pulled into one thinking I could see if I could get my oil changed before I realized it was a restaurant.
Ah, but a good one, I think. I love the wings and things that they have.
We've been to, my wife and I have been to Pennsylvania where they have the original Quaker Steak and Lube restaurant. And amazing. And we've got several here in Northeast Ohio. One up in, by Valley View and one down here in Canton. What about that, your side of town there, Dale?
Let's see. There's one up by, what is it called? Sheffield Village. There's another one in Independence, Ohio. And they're quite good. They have good wings. They have a wonderful buffet. I was in an industry where I was an account rep, and I got to treat people to lunch, and I used to love taking them there because no matter what they liked, they would find something at this buffet. So that was fun.
Except for CW, right?
I'm afraid sure so. That, well, I don't know if they should have something. I mean, any halfway decent restaurant has to have something for a vegetarian. It, that sort of diet is just too wide-ranging now. It's not like, oh,
sure.
My God, there's a new age hippie, yuppie, millennial.
I apologize. I forgot that you were a vegetarian, but I know they have... they have wonderful salads and other entrees that are vegetarian in nature.
I know so many restaurants are going to have are offering at least one meat item there, or plant meat, that kind of a thing, and it's becoming more and more of a thing. Just like in breads because of diabetics. There's a lot more breads that are starting to come out with zero sugar added to them.
Zero sugar, and none of them, they're glutens, whatever a gluten is.
Oh, yeah, gluten, it's that protein that makes it nice and spongy. Like Wonder Bread is the grand high poobah of gluten. It's that nice spongy bread that they rip everything out of. Then they artificially put everything back in. And that's why, kids, you'll grow up big and strong because we have bleached the living daylights out of this bread. How you like that?
Hey, Wonder Bread, it helps build the body in seven important ways. You know why they
had
to stop using that slogan? The FTC made them stop using that slogan. Do you know why?
They couldn't count to 12.
No, it's because... No, because all breads at that time were doing that. It was no different than anything else, so they couldn't claim to do something like that when that's what they were all doing.
Ah. There you go. A little
another
bread
one?
History from new from Erie House Radio. We know all about bread because we have none of our own.
I'm not too certain, but I think that Quaker State restaurant, there used to be a Hooters, if anyone is akin to what that restaurant used to be about.
Well, they didn't have the they didn't have the same kind of wait staff. No. It was more family oriented.
You mean they serve food there?
Oh. Okay, one. Two, three, just counting, just one.
Dave, that's my line. She would expect that from me, Dave, not from you. I should think.
Yeah.
Well, Gar's not here tonight, so somebody had to fill in.
Yeah, I guess so. the fun we get to have here. But the cool thing, real quick, before we wrap up, Here Goes the Bride from CBS Radio Mystery Theater. The coolest thing about Quaker Steak for me was the decor. It was all about, you know, automotive stuff. And often many of the restaurants would have a car hanging from the ceiling, like a classic car, perhaps a 57 Chevy or something of that nature.
Wow, I'm surprised someone didn't try and steal it off the ceiling.
Well, I'm sure they removed the heaviest pieces like the engine and large amounts of the transmission, because that's where most of your weight, the real steel, comes in. It would have been hard to steal without trashing the whole restaurant, which it's just not. I would not put past some people, but it would be a difficult steal.
Well, I shall have to step in there and see if there's anything of worth for moi.
I hope so, because I think you might, because of the retro stuff in there hanging from the ceilings, you might enjoy that and hopefully a good meal with that too.
Yeah, perhaps I'll have that impossible meat. Is Dale, not Dale, but Dave, see, you two are becoming Siamese twins, conjoined twins, rather. You're just...
I would take that as a compliment. Dale would have to take it as a slap in the face.
Oh, hardly. No, Dave, you are quite mistaken.
But if
anyone should be insulted, it should be you.
But Dave was the first person to enlighten me that Burger King, not McDonald's yet, but Burger King has the impossible burger.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't.
Have you tried it?
I can't. I can't bring myself to even try it. I'm sorry.
I did. Actually, I thought it tasted pretty amazing. It tasted like a Whopper. And hey, you know what? While we were chatting here, I uploaded a commercial we did about bread a while ago, Al and I. So we're gonna share this commercial right here about bread.
Yep, you'll like this thing.
Hi, I'm Al.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here for the Better Bread Baking Company of America.
You know, they say that you man cannot live by bread alone.
That's right. He needs a little buttering up now and then.
You know, what my friend here is trying to say, that is, bread is just bread until you put something on it or in it.
And that's exactly what the Better Bread Baking Company did.
Yeah, you've heard the old saying, the proof is in the pudding.
Well, in this case, it's 20 proof.
That's right. The Better Bread Baking Company of America has created its new 20-proof beer bread by baking beer right into the bread.
So there's no more need for that two-martini lunch, because all you need to do is a sandwich to get the same effect.
Now, just think of it. You know, the last time a deal was made over a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, Sesame Street was created. Just think of what kind of deal you can make.
Oh, and for those concerned about their weight, there's also 10-proof beer bread light available.
Of course, this does present a couple of problems, like needing your idea just to buy bread up at the register.
And, of course, you should limit yourself to just 5 slices of bread a day, because we don't want you to become a breadaholic.
And if you've had too much bread to eat, please don't get behind the wheel of your car.
That's right, because friends don't let friends eat bread and drive.
All new beer bread.
And beer bread light.
More fine products from the Better Bread Baking Company of America.
Let's go do lunch.
Okay.
Well done, David. Well done.
Nicely done.
That makes lunch far more fun.
Beer bread. Why not?
Yeah. With the whole new thing to the PB&J. Pabst Blue Jam.
There you go.
Yeah. I like that. That's clever. That's great. Well, let's wrap up our feature for today, CBS Radio Mystery Theater. Let's find out what's going on. So for what I first thought was perhaps a ghost of his ex-wife, she's actually in the building. Let's see what happens as we wrap up. Here goes the bride.
The spectral figure that hovers over Jenny, motionless under the covers, stands as still as the girl lies in the bed. Is her presence as malign as Jenny deems it to be? Or as benign as it seems to be.
Hush, child. Hush. I mean you no harm.
But you are... How you must hate me.
Her. April. His wife.
Oh, no. No, I'm not April. April is dead. She died, you know.
I thought I did. Then...
I'm her mother. April was my daughter.
You live here?
Yes. Up there.
Then you're the one I heard the other night, sobbing.
Was I? Perhaps I was. I'm very sad, you know.
Because your daughter died?
Because my daughter was killed.
Killed?
What did April have to die for? She had everything to live for. She'd never commit suicide.
But it was an accident, wasn't it?
Oh, April was as graceful as a fawn. She was a dancer, you know. She had an incredible sense of balance. She could never have lost it.
Are you suggesting she was pushed? Oh,
why do you think I'm locked up there in my room on the third floor with Conchita as my jailer?
The housekeeper. Oh,
Conchita is a practical nurse. And I am a prisoner, half the time under sedation, living in limbo, the shut-in to end all shut-ins.
But why?
To keep me from crying it to the skies. to keep the truth buried like me and my daughter, except that I am on the third floor and April is 6 feet deep. Oh, he was jealous of her. He couldn't stand the fact that she was the talent. She held it all together. She made the legends. And when the truth was coming out that he meant nothing, that she was the star, he had to drag her out of the skies, destroy her, kill her.
Who?
Your new husband, Richard Morgan. That's why I came to warn you. Get out while you can.
Senora, come you all right.
What is it he wants to take from you?
Senora Morgan, open the door.
I'm coming, Juan.
What do you want? Are you rich?
Yes.
Are you coming, Senora?
Then run like the wind. He will kill you. Just as he did April.
Are you all right, Jenny? Are you all right?
I'll do. The lights are on again.
Yes.
What happened to April's mother?
Juan has taken her back to her room. She's mad, you know. She's quite mad.
She accused Richard of killing April.
It's her obsession. She should be institutionalized, but Richie, well, he could never hurt a fly.
But I don't understand why. Now what?
Headlights coming up the drive. Must be Richie. I better go down and let him in.
For God's sake, don't be terrified of me, Jenny.
Well, I don't mean to be. I don't know what's the matter with me.
Look, April's mother must have shaken you.
Well, why would you have kept it a secret?
Look, I'm exhausted, and you're tired. Must we go through it tonight?
I don't think we can go through any other night if we don't.
Okay. It all has to do with living a legend. April was a star, a sex symbol developed by the studios. I was a stage actor with a gift of reasonable looks and an unusual voice. Separately, we had great success. But together, when we did get together, particularly after our marriage, we became something not only wildly larger than life, but larger than even just plain stardom. Our own lives disappeared, replaced by a storybook romance that our careers had to conform to, despite the fact that we had learned, not to hate each other, but we had no love left.
You didn't love April?
Jenny, I couldn't stand her. She was selfish, avaricious, demanding, petty, an impossible woman.
So you got rid of her?
You don't believe that?
No. Oh, no, Richard.
But how did April really die?
I wasn't asking
that.
No,
you don't have to. Half the world has speculated on that. Her mother thought I killed her. Still think so. Conchita and Juan know it was an accident. Lisa? Lisa has her own theory. Something to do with April's star complex and the wild winds that sometimes blow across the headlands.
And you?
I think she committed suicide. Buenos dias, Conchita.
Buenos dias, senor.
You can serve breakfast for all of us, and where's Juan?
In the South Garden.
Will you tell my wife when she comes down where I am?
Si, senor. Patron?
Yes?
Will you close up the house?
If I'm going to save my new marriage, I think I must. I'm not going to argue the facts. But it's quite clear that Jenny doesn't fit here.
I'll have some juice and coffee, Conchita.
Si, senorita.
Oh, and for Senora Morgan, too?
Si, senorita.
Morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Lisa.
Oh, heavenly day. Breakfast is on the way.
Where's Richard?
Oh, off on the ground somewhere. Want to go look for him?
I would like to get some air.
Well, then let's go.
Did you finally get some sleep?
Yes.
Well, with the new day, if you're smart, you'll make up your mind to get out of here and have Richard all to yourself.
But what will you and Conchita and Juan and Mrs... Isn't that terrible? I don't even know April's mother's name. Oh, what will all of you do?
Oh, life goes on. We'll manage and adjust. We might even be able to do it here in time.
Oh, no, Lisa, I never could. This isn't my place. It's April's.
It wasn't hers either.
But I thought it was originally her family's. That's why her mother is still...
It was a run-down, no-account mess. The stucco peeling, the plumbing, antediluvian, the gardens a shamble. Richie cured all that. He's marvelous with his hands, and his imagination knows no bounds. He made Bonrepos what it is. It's all his.
I can appreciate that, Lisa, and I know how beautiful it is, but it's dark and sinister to me. Nothing will ever change that. I remember that first evening when you took me to Seventh Heaven.
Yes.
That was the mark of what was wrong here. Such free, wild beauty, but somehow it was evil and destructive.
Oh, Jenny, that's not fair. You went by moonlight. You knew a tragedy had occurred there, but Seventh Heaven is just what its name implies, especially on a day like today with no wind and the sun riding high. Come on. Let me show you.
No, thanks.
Jenny, you hold a lot of fates in your hand, among them mine. I don't want to leave here. Give me a chance to show you. Cobwebs cleared away. It's not such a bad place to live.
Conchita?
Si, senor.
Where is the senorita?
They went out in the garden towards the water.
They?
Your sister and your wife.
Didn't they know breakfast was ready?
I think... But the Senorita Morgan seemed to want to take the Senora to the water. I should not say this, but I have a sensation. You should go quickly after them.
I really don't know why you insisted on me coming up here. I won't change my mind, Lisa.
Even now, looking out here at that incredible view?
I told you, I didn't like heights.
You know, Jenny, you're a little person with no stature.
Well, I wouldn't quite agree.
Like April, really, for all her cheap beauty. She just couldn't measure up. And I had to sit by and take the fact that she had cheated and stolen Richie away from me.
What?
My brother? Oh, does that shock you? I've loved Richie longer and deeper than all of you. How much have I gotten in return? Do you have any notion how I hated that smug, superior, super-adulated April? Would you be very surprised to find out that she didn't fall or stumble or take her life when she blew off here into eternity? She was hastened, Jenny, pushed, shoved by me. Just as you're going to be.
Why? Even allowing for what you confess, how can you hate me?
Because you are far worse than April. He really didn't love her. They were a team. He was trapped. He had to stick with her. But you... No, you're different.
Because he loves me?
Because with you, there's no chance for me. There's no chance at all.
How could there ever be?
I don't have to share his bed, only his life. I could have been the one to care for him, to console him, to love him. Love him, damn you. It'll never be you. Never anyone.
Lisa, wait. Be reasonable.
You can't stand against me any more than April could. You are going over, down the rock.
Look, put that glass break down.
It's a marvelous weapon. Hang on to it if you want to. Take it with you, but you're going.
Hey, Jenny, you are better.
Yes,
it's too late.
Hey, Richard, hurry.
If I cannot have you, nobody can.
Oh, for God's sake, Lisa, what are you doing?
Oh,
give me that. Here,
Lisa. Oh, my God. What can I say?
Nothing. Nothing.
But your sister.
I loved my sister either more or less than my first wife. I can't mourn either one of them. Jenny, it's too important to celebrate you. It'll take some time to straighten out my affairs, but once we do, you and I are going to enjoy our private life.
You'll still be public property.
No. My new deal as a director. I'll never act again.
Not even for me?
For you. For you, I'll be whatever you desire. This affair is finally beginning. We'll end only the same way. Finally. Which is forever.
I love you forever.
That's what I just said.
The walls still stand about Bonrepos, but the barbed wire and broken glass are gone from the parapets. The gates stand invitingly open, and the dogs are gone. In the bright sunshine, the dark memories, too, are fading. And the clean winds from the sea have washed away the cobwebs. Once again, the old house lives up to its name. I'll be back shortly.
Who knows how to help you solve your shopping problems? The Better Business Bureau knows.
I saw this ad offering jobs to truck drivers. And what they were really selling was a training course that could cost me $900. Do these schools guarantee a job when you're through with the course?
Reputable schools do not claim to guarantee jobs to all graduates.
Who are you?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. And before you make a down payment on a training school contract, get the facts. Any contract you sign will probably make you pay for the course without getting you a job.
Thanks for the tip, buddy.
Not at all. That's what Better Business Bureaus are for. To help people get a fair deal.
We return full circle to our definition of the supernatural as it applies to tonight's tale of or related to ghosts, behavior caused by the intervention or by the action of a god on earthly affairs. Well, April Sanders was both ghost and, by our modern standards, goddess. But her reign is over, and so is our up-to-date fable of Richard and Jenny. Our cast included Ruby Dee, Michael Wager, Terry Keane, Bryna Rayburn, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I told you I burned it.
And you know that's a fairy tale that no one will believe.
I don't care whether you believe it or not. Now, are you coming with me?
Where?
To talk to your Colonel Blake.
He won't see you.
Oh, I think he will. Goodbye, Carol. It was nice knowing you. I think.
You will kindly step back into your room, Monsieur Feeling.
Now, wait a minute.
Move. I am Major Simonovich.
Oh.
You and I have something to discuss.
I warned you.
Yeah, sure you did.
I do so dislike dealing with amateurs. This is strictly a business.
You mean you want to make a deal with me?
I mean you would find it wise if you wanted to make a deal with us.
For the paper?
Exactly. Where is it?
No, not so fast. Not so fast. You spoke about a deal?
You give us the paper, we give you your life.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KRLD's Mystery Theater presents 7 thrilling dramas each week. Sundays at 4:07 in the afternoon, then nightly at 10:07, except on Tuesday and Saturday nights, when the basketball broadcasts necessitate delaying the mysteries until midnight. The Winchell's Donut House in your neighborhood has something extra for you. It's a free 29 cents off coupon, which you'll get with your purchase of any dozen donuts. Use the coupon right now on the second dozen, or bring it back later and save 29 cents. It's Winchell's Gold Medal Celebration. They want you to try the donuts that won the award for product excellence. Delicious, delightful donuts that Winchell's has been making for 25 years. There's a Winchell's Donut House in Grand Prairie at 405 Marshall Plaza.
At 1080 on the dial in Dallas, you're listening to KRLD.
Curdle. KRLD, Curdle.
Oh, my. Great station to listen to, but you've got to watch what they're selling.
Yes. Check for freshness, please.
Yep.
Just like we have to do.
I don't know. You and I are usually pretty fresh.
I have been called fresh many times, yes.
I'll second that.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, I've been called a mother so many times, I feel like I can celebrate Mother's Day.
Whatever did you do to earn that title? I don't want to know.
Hey, I just got to be me, you know?
Ruby Dee was great. I didn't recognize her voice. The last thing I remember seeing her in was in the movie Cat People, where she was that character called Famale.
Oh, yeah.
That movie.
Wasn't she in The Color Purple?
She may very well have been. That had a wonderful cast to it.
Oh,
but,
God, yeah.
Yeah, but I just remember her in that in Cat People so vividly. She did that wonderful, very kind of spooky character from the New Orleans area. Oh, my name is Famale. And the reason she was named Famale is because the lady who adopted her didn't speak English very well, saw the name Baby Female, and thought it was pronounced Famale. So that's why she got the name Famale.
Oh, goodness.
Yep. And you know what? She is still busy acting now. I didn't realize that.
She's still alive? I don't think
she's still alive.
Anymore.
And still, right now, she's filming. Make sure I got the right thing. Ruby Dee. Oh, wait. It said 1922 through 2014. What the heck is that?
I think you're reading something a little old there, Dave.
I'm looking. She played Mary Johnson and King Dog that is filming. Maybe it was something that they did and couldn't finish.
It was probably a posthumous performance that just now getting put together.
It could be. She was in 1982 from 2013. Betty and Corina of 2013. A Thousand Words 2012. Red and Blue Marbles 2011. Politics and Love 2011. Video Girl 2011. So she stayed quite busy. She was in 2007 American Gangster, an episode of CSI Crime Scene Investigation in 2007. She was a regular on the series Little Bill. I have no idea what the heck that's about. She played the character Alice the Great. It was she was a voice, so it must maybe that was a animated. Taking Back Our Town. I'm just looking here. Finding Buck McHenry. Okay. yeah, she was also.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say her husband Ozzie Davis, who I know he has passed away. The thing that he had, it was wonderful, whimsical movie with Bruce Campbell called Bubba Hotep. Have you ever seen that, Bubba Hotep?
It was just, it's so funny that you bring this up, CW. I just watched it on Pluto TV last night. I hadn't seen Bubba Hotep in a while, and Ossie Davis plays the, we think,
President
reincarnation
Kennedy.
Of John F. Kennedy.
And he was also a musician, but he gained more fame, I think, as an actor than he did as a musician.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful actor. I liked him in the original version of The Stand. He played the old judge.
Yes, and he was also a judge in The Client with Susan Sarandon and Tommy Lee Jones.
Okay.
John Grisham, John Grisham, based on John Grisham's book, The Client, that movie, he was the judge in there. Wonderfully done.
Yeah. Ossie Davis, he's a fave of mine. He's been in a lot of stuff over the years. Good actor. Good acting chops, as they say.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Bubba Ho-Tep. Yeah, that was hilarious. When I saw that and said, is that in Bubba Ho-Tep? Him? In Bubba Ho-Tep? Okay, well, yeah, I guess so. And he pulled it off beautifully.
Well, first time I saw it, I didn't know it was Bruce Campbell doing Elvis.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, that is him.
Yeah.
That is Bruce Campbell. Unbelievable. But yet somehow right. I guess Kurt Russell turned the role down. I'm not sure.
Well, see, Kurt Russell turns it down. Let's go to Ossie Davis. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Well, no. Kurt Russell played Elvis.
Oh, Kurt Russell. But he did play Elvis. I remember, what was it in? Road to Memphis or something like that.
Graceland?
Yep. Was it 500 miles to Graceland or 5,000 miles to Graceland?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. Yes.
But who knew Bruce, Mighty Bruce, would play the king?
Yep. Bruce, on his book, what is that book he wrote? Something about his chin. That cut he has on his chin when you don't see him in makeup.
Yes.
If this chin could talk or something to that effect. Because he... Oh, gosh, I can't remember the name of the guy who directed one of the first Spider-Man movies for Marvel.
Raimi.
That's him. Yeah, in the book he talked, he used to babysit Raimi.
Yeah, interesting tale, too. One of our premier television horror hosts, The Ghoul, was actually pretty good friends with Bruce Campbell. Raimi and Campbell grew up in Michigan, or at least they went to school there, and they knew each other well. And Bruce Campbell was a huge, huge fan of Ron Swede's The Ghoul television show because it was shown in Detroit as well as Cleveland. In fact, there was a period where he was on in Detroit and not in Cleveland during the 80s. During the latter 70s, anyway. And with about 90 seconds to go, they remained friends even after Ron's career, you know, as a horror host had pretty much come to a close. They still kept in touch.
Yep.
Well, we'll do some chatting in the after party, at least for a little bit, although you may want to run off and go on over to Twitch and catch our brother, Gar the Ghoul.
That's right. Gar the Ghoul.
With Horrible Horrors, starting Gar the Ghoul. No, thank you, Fogsbane, for listening live and joining us today. We'll be back next weekend, won't we, Dave?
We will be.
What are we doing? You won't be able to see us, though.
That's right. That's
we're
right.
Going to be over the hill.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah.
We're over the hill, under the hill. It's all good. It's all about hills.
A little hilly. Things going on. The things we're heading for the hills.
Mm-hmm.
We're heading for the hills.
Five radio programs, or no, at least four. 1, 2, 3, 4, a whole bunch of them. Next weekend, we'll see you Friday at 8:30 Eastern. Is it obvious I'm like just trying to fill in time?
It is.
Well, I blew the timing. You're only getting a little
bit. Castle lights are growing dim. There's no one left but me and him.
And her.
When next we meet in front.
There we go. They didn't get the rest. Sorry, gang.
Oh, honestly, you should have left it there for our good friends in the archive.
I know. The last two nights, the timing's been off. Something terrible. Thanks again, Blog Talk. Thanks again. We look so professional. Thanks to you.
That's right. We'll only blame us just so much. The rest of it, we'll blame on you, Blog Talk.
Wait till I get started. Big tech. Wait a minute. They'll shut me down.
Yeah. Be careful of that.
That wouldn't be the first time I was canceled. Anyway. Like I care. We got good radio coming on. Thank you so much for calling in. We miss you. It's been a while. A little while.
Yeah, it has been a while.
Oh,
where have you been?
It's nice to be wanted. Well, as you know, I'm doing that educational thing, you know, higher learning and all that sort of thing, halls of academia, et cetera, et cetera. You know, in short, falling asleep at the keyboard and doing my homework 25 minutes before it's due. Usual thing.
We are absolutely blessed to have callers/listeners such as yourself, Fogsbane, so many others. Sometimes I don't realize how many people are actually listening. Blog Talk is not the best at measuring what it is we are doing here, you know, how many listens and what our true reach is. You know, Dave and I scratch our heads sometimes because he's got links to other places, and it seems like more people are listening than we know. There's one of these old-time radio pages on Facebook, and somebody started a thread with, "Hey, who's doing radio blogs out there?" You know, of course, I had to pipe in. And here are a number of people. I mentioned this in the pre-show yesterday, but I don't think we talked about it on listener time, Dave.
I'm not sure we did.
One is a regular listener I was already aware of out of Sweden, and she's been going through our archive, I mean, entirely from beginning to end. Well, another lady commented, and I was so insulted. I was really hurt by this because she said she's listening to our shows going back in time and that she found our shows to be this is hurtful. She found them to be entertaining and educational. Now, everyone knows we're like just a bunch of 16-year-old kids, and all we're doing it for is for attention for ourselves, you know.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not about the radio. No. But I was appalled that she found our show entertaining and educational. Oh, my skin crawls. No. That's my left-handed way of saying I was shocked that anyone would say such a thing.
We've come a long way, I think. We've had a lot of fun. But we're also, you know, Gar, as much as anyone else, as much as he's a cut-up, he's always pushing me on and finding things himself, information on different tangents of the show. And it's amazing some of the things that we can come up with. And then on the fly, as he mentioned something, and I can look it up on the Internet while he's bringing that up. It's just very you don't think about it because we're doing everything off the fly here. Sometimes there's a little bit of research that goes into it before we go on, but
yeah.
Most of what we do is on the fly. And I know Dale uploads things as we're going along, and there are times when one of the shows hasn't been right, and while Dale is working to keep everybody interested and throwing in a song, I'm editing and throwing it up there too. So
shit. Sorry, excuse me.
But we're
so educated.
I know.
Maybe we just don't realize because we're so busy on the fly trying to do things and find things at times. That actually people can actually learn from our mistakes and finding things as we're going along.
And the funny thing is, the way we've grown together, CW, the three of us, is like sometimes you start researching and you don't even know where the show has gone, and you have to listen for a minute before you jump back in because the other two have moved on to something else while you're trying to research something, and it's like, oh, okay. Especially
up,
if
Dale,
is one of the ones that's not doing the research, because his mind turns on
goodness.
A dime. His mind turns on a damn dime.
It does. I mean, one of the lines in our thread there, CW, one of the lines that happened was, we were complaining about them finding us both entertaining and educational. Carr said, if we got paid in towels, we could throw them in. And I said, oh, my God. And he just did it that quick because for some reason we all seemed to be on at the same time. Dale posted it, and then I posted something. And Gar was right there with, hey, if we got paid in towels, we could throw them in. And just, oh, my God, what a great line that was.
Yeah, we don't do a lot of prep work. The person who does the most prep work, in my mind at least, is Dave, who's does the scheduling for the most part. You know, once in a while I'll get a guest or I'll throw out a suggestion. But for the most part, Dave has done about 99% of the programming. Picking the radio programs, theming them up, and setting them, you know, right now we got a schedule. We're pretty far ahead into nearly the end of August. And again, nothing's written in stone. Again, allowing for guests or brainstorms.
Or whatever. Or something that comes up, like when you talked about we should do something for something one day. And
two weeks later, I think both CW and myself were mentioning that we enjoyed William Powell. And what did you do?
Yes.
You went and made a drive-in theater coming up in late July.
For his birthday, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. We got a William Powell drive-in coming up.
Outstanding.
But he does the most of that, and then we'll call in. I can start taking phone calls about 15 minutes before the show starts. So when we have guests, we always ask them to call in a little early so we can get them comfortable. You know what I mean? And sometimes you can get a sense of timing with someone's speech patterns, so you know how to kind of flow with them a little bit. It's kind of why we goof around a little bit for 10, 15 minutes before each show to just get used to each other's rhythm and kind of get a feel for where we're going. But nothing, unless Dave's come up with a great commercial, we don't script a damn thing other than what shows we're going to play. We don't even know what order we're going to play them half the time.
No, we don't. We're debating that usually at the beginning of a show. Where do you want to start? You know?
Yeah. Where are we going with this? And sometimes the stories lend themselves to a certain order. You know what I mean? Sometimes in an order of ascending terror or something like that.
Yeah.
Or
sometimes I say we should save this one for last because it's the best one of the three, and work our way up to that good one. One thing about the scheduling, CW, is we are technically scheduled up through almost the end of August, but on the spreadsheet I have made that I keep updating to Dale, there's probably a year to a year and a half of programs there just waiting to be sucked up from down there and plugged into the slot.
Yeah, he's at drag-and-drop mode right now and just working around inspiration, upcoming events. Sometimes a guest will inspire us to go in a certain direction.
Right.
And great listeners and callers like you or Fogsbane.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Question for you. Even though they aren't related, because I think William Powell, it drove him up the wall asking, are you and Dick Powell related?
Yeah.
And that was a question that really had him grinding his teeth. They weren't, but legitimate question. They don't happen to share the same birthday or birth month or birth year, do they?
Oh,
I think they just say share the spelling of the last name, and that's probably about all they share.
And he had to go to Dick Powell because William Powell was already there using his name. Yeah, we can check this out, Dick Powell.
Well, it's like Katharine Hepburn and Audrey Hepburn, both excellent actresses, both exact last names, Dick Powell and William Powell, both wonderful actors in the same industry. I mean...
Yeah, it's hard to...
They're not the same month of birth because Dick Powell is in November, and I think it's July that we have... it's either June or July that we have William Powell for his birthday. So... they don't share really anything. Mountain View is born in Mountain View Stone. What the heck is that?
I don't know.
I was looking here. He was born in Mountain View Stone County, Arkansas. That was Dick Powell.
Yeah.
You wouldn't guess, but he doesn't look it. You know.
He doesn't sound like he's from Arkansas either.
Hillbilly country.
Yeah, but he didn't sing like it either, you know. And
no.
He was a guy who was really basically a song and dance man who moved his way into acting because there's probably more longevity in acting than there is in singing and dancing.
Moonshine?
there's not much legit longevity in moonshine, yeah. Especially if you keep it in the ground for too long.
There you go.
I mean, some of that stuff you could use as rocket fuel.
And William Powell, he was a U.S. citizen, wasn't he?
He's my next one. Let's look at one.
There you go.
And here he is. Yeah, he was born in Pittsburgh. Yes.
I bet that he had such a cultured voice, just like Jonathan Harris. I mean,
yes.
Dr. Smith.
Yes, and Harrison was what, from New York?
Yeah, he was from the Bronx.
The Bronx.
Yeah.
And did not want to sound like he was from the Bronx.
Yeah.
Yo, Adrian!
Yep.
Yo, you bubble-headed movie over there.
William Powell had shared the same day as my mother for her birthday, July 29th. Not the same year, but the same day.
Okay. Yeah, but I was just curious about that because I remember reading, I think it was William Powell, that question just, for some reason, it just irked him no end. Whereas on the opposite side for trivia, in the month of May, you know, different years, but almost the same day. Two of them were born on the same day, different years.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, Christopher Lee, Vincent Price, and Peter Cushing was born a day earlier, different year, but they were all born in the month of May.
Yes.
I thought that was the coolest thing in the world.
It is very cool because they are quite
and they
cool
call
guys.
And they call it the merry month of May with those three? Woo!
The Merry Madmen of May.
Yes. The very best kind.
Oh, yeah.
The granddaddies of horror.
Indeed. And if you want to see something really cool, that show, This Is Your Life, they have Christopher Lee on there. Vincent Price shows up talking about how he arranged for a birthday party for them all because it was the same day. Different years, Vincent always said, different years. And you even get to see Christopher Lee's half-brother.
Oh.
What happened to the other half of him?
I forgot that part. I don't remember that part. I'll have to watch it again.
Yeah. Same father, different mothers. According to Christopher Lee's biography, he thought highly of his mother, or rather highly of his father, wonderful gentleman, brave as a lion, had a gambling problem, and quote-unquote, nobody's perfect. And his mother got fed up and divorced him.
Ah, okay.
So, it's online. This Is Your Life, Christopher Lee. It's really cool. He and his brother look quite a lot, half-brother, look quite a lot alike, actually.
How did that happen?
Father's genes.
Who was wearing them? No, never mind. I hope that's not from a Winston.
No, No. I wouldn't cough that badly.
You'd be proud of me. I have had but two cigarettes tonight. I only had one through all of yesterday's show. One actual cigarette. But I'm cheating. I'm vaping. I'm inhaling metals.
Well, nobody's perfect.
And I just got my link for Meeting of the Minds. Good.
Cool.
You're welcome.
Thank you both.
Thank you both. You get a kick out of that. Yeah, because I thank you for that, CW. It was great.
Absolutely. You're very welcome.
Anybody else gardening this year?
Let me tell you something about me, Dale. I weed with a lawnmower. Does that answer your question about me gardening?
Yes, it does.
I shop in the produce department.
I don't know why I bother. Just like I want to say not even a half a mile from my house is absolute country, okay? And there's this farm that puts out a truck full of fresh vegetables and stuff, and it's like way cheaper than the grocery store and like twice as fresh. And they grow some pretty amazing stuff. But yet I keep going at it. I got to have my cucumbers and bell peppers and what else do I grow? Cucumbers, did I say that already? I'm doing snow peas. Yes. I got to find a good recipe for snow peas. I think I'm going to have a good little crop of those guys.
Cool.
I thought you had to do that in wintertime.
I planted them while there was still all, there was a little bit of snow afterwards. They do like the spring. They like the cold.
Make a huge vat of split pea soup with, I'll say it, ham, meat, And see, there should be a way you can freeze it and hold it up. So when autumn comes, you just thaw it out and you've got a nice piping hot cup of split pea soup from your garden.
Well, I don't know that these peas would be good because they're actually pea pods. They're very much, they're the snow peas like you would find in an Asian dish.
Yeah, you can split the pod open and get the peas.
But that seems awful. I want to eat the pod and everything, man.
Oh, okay.
Pod people, huh?
Yes.
That explains a lot. That explains a great deal. Hmm.
Yeah. See, it's all coming together. They're
you're
finding
next.
Me out.
You're next.
You're next. Not always the smartest thing to say. Like certain sports athletes.
Like LeBron James. Yes, I know that's what you're referring to.
I just pull out my chicken video. Oh my God, that was so much fun. I don't know if you follow sports, CW, but LeBron started his career here, and he left in kind of a, I felt at least, a very not classy way. Okay,
it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, it was not a classy way, so I was still doing my monthly show on Amherst City Cable. And I had this rubber chicken prior to the one I got from Gar. I would never do this to Gar's chicken. We had been using it for certain skits, and Michael and I were spoofing the dead parrot sketch from
Monty Python.
Yep,
what did
yep.
we call it? Marty Cobra's Sailing Carnival, I think we called it. There's something like that. And instead of a dead parrot, we had a dead chicken, and I was banging the dead chicken's head on the table going, "This chicken is dead, mate." And its neck ripped. So a week later, LeBron James pulls his little disappearing act from Cleveland. So I took the chicken and painted a number 23 on its chest. Stuffed a couple firecrackers down that neck hole, taped it up, put it on my picnic bench, videoed myself lighting it, just said something about a certain person was too chicken to leave town the right way. So we're going to send him out of here in a way my mentor, Ron Swede the Ghoul, taught me. I lit the fuse, ran like hell, and it was so funny. It blew that chicken's head right off. It was just a one-shot deal, and it came out perfect. In slow motion, it's even funnier.
Yeah.
Our horror horse, the ghoul, he used to blow stuff up. People would send him these models. You can tell they worked on them for hours, and he'd put like a picture of local broadcaster Dorothy full-time as if she were driving the car. And he'd stick firecrackers in there, do a close-up, and blow it up right on the camera. Pieces would be flying everywhere. It was hysterical. Now, that's a horror host.
Yeah, that's a horror anyway, yeah.
Yes.
I grew up in a desert, no horror host anywhere, so that's why I'm grateful for the internet. I can rediscover all this stuff, this wealth that you two were able to absolutely swim in. I was just in the Death Valley, nothing, zip, zero, nada.
Well, there are a lot of areas that didn't. I knew in Buffalo, I didn't have anybody there, no local guy at all. We had a couple local guys doing the kids shows like Commander Tom and Rocket Ship 7, but we did not have a horror host.
Now, did you have kiddie shows like that, CW, when you were a young
Sesame child. Street, which was syndicated everywhere. Sesame Street, of course, that's iconic. I think that's a planetary experiment. There are people who still live with stone knives and bear skins, but somehow they get Sesame Street.
But nobody local, like a local channel putting on a local show or anything like that?
Nah, just network stuff and cable stuff. And
okay, you're probably significantly younger than us. We would have, like here in Cleveland, we had a guy named Captain Penny. All right, he would wear an engineer's hat, like a train engineer, you know, the striped hat. And he was like a friendly guy who would introduce cartoons or even silent comedies and things like that. And he had little moral messages too, like to listen to your parents and do good things kind of thing. You know, he was a nice, wholesome guy.
Yep.
He would always end his show with, you could fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool mom.
Didn't have any of that. I just discovered that stuff when I saw little documentaries and little snippets on talk shows and everything. The very first one I ever remember seeing on a talk show as a child was when they were interviewing Soupy Sales, when he said he did that thing as a joke, that little piece of the paper that's in mommy and daddy's purse and wallet, I want you to get that out and mail it to me. Mail it to Soupy Sales and everything else.
Because Soupy likes pictures of presidents.
Yeah, and my mom said, yeah, that really did happen. He got kind of sort of in hot soup for that.
Oh, that's hilarious. It was such an innocent time, you wouldn't think that something like, you know what I mean? It's in a different way. It's kind of like the War of the Worlds. In a naive way, maybe they never just considered that people would take it serious.
And do it, yeah.
Well, I think people are more gullible now because they're believing every doggone thing. If it's on the internet, then it's got to be real.
Yeah, but somebody tweeted it. we're living in a world where tweets become news. Really?
No.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's really nice to be in the back 40 of life. I just hope I can keep laughing. Because it's important to laugh. It's important to laugh.
At some point, Dale, they'll put us in the home, and then all we have to do is either laugh or cry, so let's laugh.
Yeah.
And I only, a few years ago, was only I heard about that guy, Chili Billy Cardell, and that was only because they were doing a documentary on Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
George Romero said he had to beg him to do that little tiny spot of the broadcaster because he was kind of turning his nose up at this very, very young then George Romero at this little dink movie. And he said, well, who knew, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and the cool thing about Chilly Billy is he's one of the few, a very small handful of horror roles that I know of, at least, that really didn't have didn't dress up like a creepy character, didn't have a costume, you know? Our very own Big Chuck and Little John and Houlihan, they never dressed up. They basically played who they were. I think Chilly Billy was the same way. He wore like a tuxedo. He dressed up, but he didn't dress up. And who else? Bob Wilkins out of California. He didn't really have a costume. And these are classics. These are premier horror hosts that truly belong in the Horror Host Hall of Fame, which, as you know, Dave has been nominated for.
Who truly does not belong here. Thank you, but somebody's got to drag that class down, that's for sure.
You're just the guy, Dave. No, it's overdue, in my opinion. We all have our opinions of who's better and, you know, who's our favorite or who captures the spirit of hosting and whatever. There's differences of approach and how people do their shows, but yours is...
Mine is
yours
very
is
much
what a
in,
horror
in
host the... feels like. And even though you don't restrict yourself to horror, you're what a host feels like to me.
Well, you know, certainly for Northeast Ohio, we do, because if you've ever, you know, because of Big Chuck, you know, who was a really big thing for me growing up.
Yeah.
You know,
well, for
that,
a lot of Ohioans,
you know,
yeah.
The only spin I do on his is that I go to all these unique locations to do the hosting, and that's the one thing that really kind of sets me apart from his show, because I don't do a sit-down studio type thing like Chuck did. There's nothing – no, I think it's great. That's what I grew up with, but I had to do something a little different. And so I find these unique little museums and collections and stuff and try to do them from there, and that's really, I think, what sets us apart from almost all the shows out there.
I'd have to agree, Dave. I don't know anybody that does as much locations and as is your want to do. You theme it up with your movie somehow. There's a tie-in. There's a link.
The
yeah.
Somehow try to do that, yeah. But, yeah. So it does make it it makes it interesting, and you know, people look at it as a, I mean, last time it showed on the Vortex, somebody said, oh, here comes Dave's travelogue, you know, and and Gar's always said, my show is like a road stop rest where you're driving along the road, and they used to have all those little exhibits people would stop by and drive and see, and that's kind of what my show is kind of like. As long as it's a drive-by shooting, I'm okay.
Yeah. We did a show on roadside attractions here on the Erie House.
Again.
Oh.
Yes.
That was a long time ago now. Jeez.
Yeah. The movie with Jennifer Salt, a very young Sam Shepard, and Cornel Wilde, Gargoyles. They have.
Oh, yeah.
That scene when they're traveling down the desert and they see Uncle Willie's signs to his curio shop.
Yep. That's good stuff.
Yeah.
I like the roadside attractions in the movie Duel. The snake lady.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Steven Spielberg's first baby, or pretty much almost his first baby, I think.
Yeah, I think he tinkered with a few night galleries, but that was his first feature-length film.
Yeah.
Which I never knew until I started working with Dave, or maybe slightly before. I never knew that Duel was actually made for the theaters, because it seemed like a made-for-TV movie, and it's where I first experienced it.
I think it did far better. I think it did far better on television than it did in the theaters.
I'd have to agree.
The theaters?
Yes.
Really?
It was made for the theaters and did not do well. And then TV blew it up. I remember, oh, my God, all the kids at school were talking about it. That was a thriller.
Yeah, Yeah.
Yeah, you know, now, you know, it's kind of hard to get into it because everybody has a cell phone or a sat phone or a computer or a Kindle or a 357 Magnum in their glove compartment. So, you know.
As one should.
And I got my air-to-ground missile launcher in the trunk of my car, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
But, you know, you have to look at all these movies and whatever for the period that they're made in. Although that seems fairly modern, of course, look, there's so much technology has passed it by. And you look at the same thing in the 60s, and then, you know, if you're watching something from the 50s or 40s, you know, you know that there's certain things that they just couldn't do. So you have to do it for, I mean, the only reason you'd have something like that is if today they have no cell phone reach or anything like that. So, you know.
And the flip side of that is true. If you watch the movie with Ren and Nassy, The Shape of Things to Come, you see a vid phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a better space program than we do.
Yeah. Well, of course, that was before Spaceship One, so.
Oh, that true.
One of the most amazing projects I ever lucked into. I'm telling you. And he approached me about doing some skits, and we started talking. Said, yeah, this is too much work for skits. We can do something, you know, in 5 to 8 minutes. Well, you guys have seen what that's become. They're like sitcoms, like half-hour sitcoms almost.
Indeed. Hats off to technology, because you can pretty much, do that on your Android or your Apple. Get very clear-cut clarity and all that stuff and whatnot on your laptop.
Yeah, Jim does that on his Apple. He not only directs it, but he does the editing and all the CGI work for that. And I basically head up the writing and produce to make sure people are going to be there and get the slots for it, at the studios and stuff. So it's a joint venture, but his is a majority. A lot of mine is before the production and at production. Then his is all afterwards.
Outstanding. With that said, I must be away.
Oh, you must be. You keep calling here anyway.
Yeah,
you
sure.
Know what you need to do. You know what you need to do. The person you need to call upon.
Oh, Mr. Durante, knock, knock, if you please.
Give me a minute. I'm walking over to the piano.
Good night. It's time to say good night.
Good night.
What more to say but good night?
Stay for the
stinger. We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrivo, up we the day, and ink-a-tink-a-doo.
Good night.
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever.
The foregoing has made it obvious to me that we've had quite enough for one evening. We shall save the rest until next week, when I shall reappear. Until then, good night.